Hello, this is Pastor Tom Pickens of Antelope Valley Christian Center, and you are listening to The Word of Victory.
There is no birth without the pregnancy. And maybe there's somebody in here that's just a little bit frustrated. You feel like giving in. You feel a little confused. Maybe you feel like you're walking in circles in your life in different seasons. I want to talk to you. Everybody else can just listen in. I want to talk about Joshua chapter 1 as you're in Joshua 6, but Joshua 1, will you remember where God spoke to Joshua? And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. So that season is ended and that boat is over. But I always have had a plan since day one. And Moses, my servant, is ended this season. But Joshua, I've been training you up to get ready for this next season. Because you've grown up under Moses. You've seen some things. You're the son of Nun. And now it's time for you to take your rightful place and to go into the season that I have called you in. So he says, number one, Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise and go forward over the Jordan. And I have a promised land to give you. I have amazing things to give you. I'm ready to continue the promise that I gave the children of Israel to lead them into the promised land. And you're going to help do that. But there's three things that I must talk to you about, Joshua, before you go on this journey. Because there's some stuff that you're going to go through and you're not even going to know about it. But as long as I put this on the inside of you, and as long as I do this, I guarantee that you will. Everybody say, you will.
You will
make it through. And he says in Joshua 1, he said, be strong and of good courage. Do not allow this book of the law to depart from your mouth, but meditate on it therein day and night. Don't turn from it from the right hand or the left hand, but you'll be prosperous wherever you go. And then he says it again, Joshua, only be strong and of good courage so that you may do what I have called you to do. And then he says it a couple verses down, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Number one, God doesn't have a stuttering problem. Number two, if he says something the first time, you should listen up. If he says it the second time, you should memorize it. If he says it the third time, it's a big deal. God tells Joshua three times in less than 10 verses, be strong and be very courageous. And the one thing that I think is really amazing is he said, before he said, be strong and of good courage, he said, only be strong and of good courage. In order to go on an airplane, to get on that airplane, all you need, besides your bags and all that, but all you need to get on that airplane is a what? A ticket. And so to ride the airplane from here to New York or from here to overseas, all you need is a ticket. Nothing else will get you on that airplane and get you to your destination. Only the ticket will get you from here to there. And God says, only be strong and of good courage, period. Everybody say period. So there's nothing else that I need for me to accomplish the plan that you have for my life. Anything else is not good. Like your body, it takes the nutrients when you eat something, and then it gets rid of the rest. And so God is saying that anything else that you try to put in here, I'm going to reject it, so you're wasting your time. Only be strong and of good courage. Why? Because you're getting ready to go through some stuff. And I think it's very important to understand this. You think about this with Joseph. I love Joseph's life because it's amazing. At the age of 14, he was given a dream from God, and it talks about how other sheaves are going to bow down to his sheaf and he's going to be a king. 14 years old, he didn't realize it, but he went to his family and he told them basically what was going on. But the thing about Joseph is he had his family who were dream killers. They hated on him and they tried to take his dream from him. Understand, you got to be careful who you tell your dreams to, because not everybody can think the way that you think that God has given you a big dream. God has told you to own your own business. God has told you to be a millionaire. God has told you to have a successful marriage. God has told you that you will own several homes. Some people just can't handle that. They will hate on you and try to take it away from you because them themselves are not doing it. So you got to be careful who you tell. Usually we tell the people that are closest to us, nearest and dearest to our hearts. He told his family and they tried to snatch it away from him. He could have got depressed. He could have got upset. Could have got on Facebook and Twitter like, oh my God, my family doesn't believe in my dream. I just don't know what I'm going to do. No, he told them again and he rejected what they were saying. But then I think it's very important to understand that his brothers sold him in slavery. And he went through all those things in his life. But I didn't hear God one time tell him, Joseph, I'm giving you this dream, but at the end, you're going to be an amazing ruler and king. But I'm not going to tell you what's in between A and Z. I'm just going to tell you that Z exists. But only be strong and of good courage. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to be sold into slavery, but it's working. Check this out. All things that happen aren't good, but all things that happen to those who love God will happen according to their good. See, everything that happens to you in your life is not good, but God can construct that and orchestrate it to where it will be good for his glory. So everything that happened to Joseph was not good. But best believe, the end result was great. Everybody wants to go from good to great, but not everybody wants to deal with what has to go from good to great. Not everybody wants to deal with the dash in between the lines. Joseph, I'm not going to tell you, son, that you're going to be sold into slavery, and then you're going to be placed in Potiphar's house, and you're going to be escalating, and you're going to be doing great, and the favor of God is going to be upon you, and it's going to be recognizable, and you're going to attract so many different people. No, you're going to attract a woman that's going to love you because you're going to be so attractive. She's going to lie on you and say that you tried to take her out, and no, you didn't. You didn't try to have sex with her. You ran, and you did the right thing, and you ran, and then you went to jail, and you were in jail for about 10 to 12 years, and you were really upset at me, but you just got over it, and you never really complained, and then you helped interpret a dream, and there was a butler and a cook that said they were going to help you out. And then they got sent up to Pharaoh, and they forgot about you, and you learned about that lesson. Not everybody does what they say they're going to do, because not everybody has integrity like you do. And you get upset, and another few years go by, but yet you still trust me because you remember the dream. See, don't let the devil block your perspective with problems. People that get their eyes off the prize are the ones that take their eyes off the vision that God has given them. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 says, write the vision down. Why? So that you can run with it. And everybody writes it down and they want to start running, but not everybody remembers the following verses. Why? Because it will tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely, surely come to pass. Surely. And surely is between the dashes. Surely is the time that you don't feel like trusting God. What do you do when what God has said, you don't see? God has said that this situation in your life will be successful, but it's been 10 years and you haven't seen it. God has said that your business will be thriving, but your business is below the red. It ain't even in the red. It's below the red in another color. What do you do when your children are acting completely opposite of the way that they used to be? They were your little princess, your little prince, and now they're just acting like little devils. But you did the word of God, and you train them up in the way a child is supposed to be trained. And God said that when you do that, and when they honor you, they will have long life, and they will have a satisfying life. You're in between the dashes. The birth has not come. You got to stay in the pregnancy. What do you do when you're on the job that you know God has called you to do, and you're faithful and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing? You're coming early and you're leaving late. You're one of the greatest employees there, but this supervisor is just giving you mess. You're in between the dashes. That's your love dummy. God is telling you, you're supposed to love this person, but I just don't know. You're in between the dashes. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up. Because of the children of Israel, none went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city and go before the men of war. You shall go around the city once. You shall do this for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear up 7 trumpets of ram's horns. Skip down to verse 5. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, Joshua. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Verse 6, then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests serve 7 trumpets and ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. Skip down to verse 10. Now when Joshua had commanded the people, telling them what God said, you shall not make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth. Keep it shut until the day I tell you to shout, then you all shall shout. Verse 11. So he said, and so he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came to the camp and lodged in there. Verse 14, and the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did this for 6 days. What I want to emphasize in on is a couple points here. Verse 3, God said, you shall march around the city, you and all your men of war. You shall go around the city once. You shall do this for 6 days. That's your part. It's not my part. Outcome is God's result. Obedience is ours. Outcome is God's result. Obedience is ours. In other words, you being obedient will bring the outcome. Too many people are focused on God. Are you going to deliver the outcome? It doesn't look like you're going to deliver the outcome. It doesn't look like this is going to change. It doesn't look like God said, I am not concerned about that. You solely do your part. You march around for 6 days. Don't you dare be concerned about my part because my ways are higher than your ways and I'm more powerful than you. And then in verse 6, I love the fact that God told Joshua everything from verse 1 through 5. Then in verse 6, it says, then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest. The very thing that I think that is so important here is number one, God spoke to Joshua and Joshua did it. He did it. He did not hesitate. It didn't say that God spoke to Joshua and then he thought about it. And God spoke to Joshua, he tries to put logic to it. And God spoke to Joshua and he asked his friends about it. And God spoke to Joshua and he tried to think about it and reason about it. It said God spoke to Joshua and then he did exactly what God was telling him to do. And then in verse 10, I think it's amazing that Joshua said, now Joshua had commanded all the people, telling them, you shall not make a noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I tell you to shout, you and all these people. So what happened was Joshua told these people, hey, look, the problem is we're supposed to be going to the promised land before this. But what happened was we are looking at the promised land, but in between the promised land, what God has promised us, in between the promised land and us inheriting the promised land is this city called Jericho with tall walls. It's a problem trying to block our perspective because God said that we should have the city. But when we get to the city, right before it, there's a problem right before the finish line. And so what God is telling us to do is to march around this thing for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, but see, he didn't tell them that. He knew for 6 days. The thing that I find ironic is he told the people, you're going to march around the city, and then when I tell you to shout, you're going to shout. So you got to think that these people try to figure it out. Well, how many days are we going to be marching? And then as they start marching, they went around the city. The Bible says that they went around the city. It took them a whole day, and then they rested. Think about it. That's like from marching from Division and I all the way down to 60th Street West and like Avenue M. Would you be game? Or maybe you're in LA and God is telling you, I want you to walk the circumference of Los Angeles for a day and then do it again. And then get up and do it again. And then get up and do it again. See, you think that the answer to your situation is going to come in the way that you want it to come. When in doubt, it's not. I'll show you. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. Just take a side journey real quick. You guys with me? Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. This is when Jesus went back to his hometown. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he had departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues so that they were astonished. And they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is his mother not Mary and his brothers James, Joseph's, Simon and Judas and his sisters, were they not all with us? When did this man get all these things? Because see, he grew up around here and he was a carpenter and we saw him playing on the playground and we're so familiar with him. I don't believe that anything good could come from this young man. So where did he get all of his wisdom? Because we're looking for the Messiah. And the Messiah is supposed to come as a man, as a mighty man of war and valor and I remember him. He ain't a mighty man of war. He's a carpenter. And I know his brothers and his sisters. Verse 57, so they were all offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And the one thing that I want you to understand is this. The reason they were offended at him is because they couldn't understand him. We try to understand how God is going to do things and figure it out, you're not going to work well with him. we live in a fast food society, and the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we want everything just like that. I put it in a microwave, I want it done just like that. I pull up to a fast food, I want it done just like that. I go to a restaurant, if I have to wait for over 30 minutes, and you told me that I'm supposed to wait for 20 minutes, I have a problem, and I want to talk to the manager because I want everything like that. And God says, when you come into the kingdom of God, there's this thing called patience, but patience is profanity to some of us because we don't understand how to wait. And patience is not waiting. Patience is how you wait. Patience is still trusting God as you're waiting because the time is still going to go on. So I think it's very, I think you have to understand that when you're working with God, you got to work in his mindset and on his level. And he says that I can't do any mighty works here because you guys expect for me to come in a package that you don't see. Be careful that you don't miss the amazing solutions and answers to your problems in your life because you're judging the vessel that is coming through. They missed Jesus coming through the hometown because they did not believe because they were so familiar with him. And I think it's amazing to understand that Jesus, being almighty and all powerful, couldn't do any mighty works there in his hometown because of unbelief. So that means that Jesus can't do mighty works in our life due to unbelief. What are the areas of unbelief that we have? Do we believe that Jesus can help us get to our promised land of a better future, of financial freedom, of great relationships with our kids, of great relationships with our spouses, of great relationships, just period, and do what we want to do? Do we really believe that God will allow us to do that? Or are we just stagnated because we have unbelief? So back to Joshua chapter 6, verse 14. And the second day they marched around the city and returned to the camp. So they did this for 6 days, and they marched around, and they marched around. And you got to understand, you got to put yourself in the situation. They're marching around, and this is what God is supposed to do, and the walls and everything is going to fall after we march around. But I don't know. I'm marching around. It's the first day, and I don't know about you, but I'm a little tired. And then all of a sudden, clicks start forming and stuff like that, right? And then they're walking around, and everybody starts bunching up, you know, a couple people bunch over here. And man, like, it's crazy, right? Yeah, like my arthritis is kicking in, and my sprained ankle, and I rolled my ankle on a rock because I was talking to somebody. And then, you know, you really believe what Joshua was saying? Do you really think that if we walk around this, that the walls are really going to fall? How long are we going to be walking? How long is this going to take? You know, we start talking and conversing, and if you're not careful, you've got to watch who you get around. Because death and life's in the power of the tongue. So if you're around people and you're walking around Jericho and these folks are saying, you know what, I don't really believe, why don't we go do it ourselves? Why don't we go run and take the city ourselves? But you got to understand that they stayed uniform. And you got to understand, some of the guys came home, you know, and their wives are probably like, oh my God, you went out there and tore it up. You did awesome. And they're like, nah, not really. What are you talking about? Well, Joshua just told us we're supposed to walk around for like 6 days and then, or not 6 days, but we're supposed to walk around and then something's going to happen. And then the wife, well, what do you mean? So now they're fighting all these opportunities to walk in unbelief. But God has said, walk around the city, and then I'm going to tell you. And what happens in life, guys, is we're in a season, and we're doing what God has told us to do. But we think that life is going to tell us how long this season is going to be. Well, God, isn't somebody going to tell me how long I have to put up with this? Well, God, isn't somebody going to tell me how long the supervisor is going to be on me? Well, God, isn't somebody going to tell me how long I'm not going to own a home and yet I'm doing everything that I need to be doing? Well, God, isn't somebody going to tell me how long my kids are going to be acting like this? God, please tell me, give me something. How long is this going to be that I have to be here in this season? But they didn't do that. You would have thought that God would be like, look, after the third day, I'm going to let a brick fall out so it looks like what I said to you is going to happen. And maybe it's not about the outcome. Maybe it's about what God wants to do on the inside of you during the 6 days. Maybe it's not even about the 7 days. Maybe it's about what he will do inside of you during the 6 days. So when you get to the promised land, you have perseverance because you learn how to walk around for 6 days and not complain and be obedient. Because the obedience was your outcome, or was your responsibility, and outcome was God's responsibility. And so Jericho is there, and Jericho is in the way, and they're marching around, and God is telling them what to do.
The Word of Victory has been brought to you by Antelope Valley Christian Center, which is pastored by Dr. Tom Pickens. We are located at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard in Lancaster. For more information about Antelope Valley Christian Center, call 661-949-7200 or visit us on the web at avccusa.org.